Democrats passed a resolution on impeachment guidelines, whatever that means. Is the whistleblower behind this whole mess really Pajama Boy from the Barack Obama healthcare ads? And what is going on with America's public schools? All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, happy Friday. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to get to Pajama Boy and all the mess behind this whistleblower. But first, I have to bring you up to speed on what went on yesterday with the latest in the whole impeachment mess that's going on in the House. And as you know, this has just been ongoing. I mean, from day one, they've been out to get President Trump. They tried Mueller. They tried the Russia investigation, Russia collusion. That went nowhere. Now, all of this impeachment stuff is based on this phone call between President Trump and the Ukrainian president. And people without even firsthand knowledge of the call, and we'll get into this whistleblower in a second, made a big old stink, and now the Democrats are jumping on it. And so, to set a timeline that leads up to yesterday's vote, remember, Nancy Pelosi authorized an impeachment inquiry, which is just a lame, unofficial way to dig into President Trump and to put the impeachment word out there. It's just a sham. It's just a cover for them to go after President Trump. So they started, you know, interviewing witnesses in committees like the Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee. And we've seen how that phase has gone so far. Adam Schiff, the Democrat who chairs the Intelligence Committee, flat out lied, made up stuff in his opening statements. He's talked to witnesses. His committee has talked to witnesses. Republicans have been shut out. Witnesses have been coached. It's just a sham. And yet that's what's been going on. So now Nancy Pelosi, under further pressure, decided to put forward this resolution, which sets guidelines for the impeachment proceedings, this impeachment inquiry, which when you think about it, it's just kind of ridiculous to have a resolution that sets the guidelines for the inquiry when you already have the inquiry. Shouldn't it be the other way around? And yet, that's how the Democrats in Washington, D.C. work. And here's more from Fox News. It says, a sharply divided House voted Thursday to approve a resolution setting ground rules for the impeachment inquiry into President Trump, putting lawmakers on record over the contentious process while setting the stage for proceedings to move into the public eye after weeks of closed-door depositions. The measure passed largely along party lines, 232 to 196, two Democrats defected on the vote. The first formal vote in relation to the impeachment probe announced a month ago by Speaker Nancy Pelosi followed a fierce debate in the chamber where Republicans accused Democrats of launching a de facto coup against the president in a preordained bid to overturn the results of the 2016 election. So the resolution passed with no Republican support. And one thing I want to remind everybody is that Nancy Pelosi has said over and over again that she would not pursue impeachment unless there was some overwhelming crime committed such that there was bipartisan support for impeaching the president. Bipartisan support. So now they pass this resolution with not a single Republican supporting it. So it's just the Democrats once again going after President Trump. And here's what she said on the floor of the House yesterday.
Nobody, I doubt anybody in this place or anybody that you know comes to Congress to take the oath of office, comes to Congress to impeach the President of the United States, unless his actions are jeopardizing our honoring our oath of office.
So that's Nancy Pelosi. Next, I want to show you Republican Doug Collins, who's representative out of Georgia. He is the ranking member on the House Judiciary Committee. It's chaired by Democrat Jerry Nadler. Collins is the top Republican, and he had plenty to say about Nancy Pelosi and the whole proceedings. Here's some of his comments.
Let me just go back to what Ms. Pelosi said right there. She said that they didn't come to Congress to impeach. Did we not have a huge controversy the day of swearing in from a congresswoman from Michigan, Ms. Tlaib, who said that we're here to impeach him? I mean, come on, Ms. Pelosi, you know better than this. You're just pandering to the American people when you say that.
So Collins is talking about the process and how messed up it is. But in that interview, Brett Baer over at Fox News kept pressing him on the substance behind the impeachment inquiry, the substance of this phone call between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. And he just kept pressing that, like, okay, you guys don't believe in the process. You think it's messed up, but what about the substance? You think something's there? And here's Collins' response.
But let's talk about substance. We see the transcript. We know what's in the transcript. We see what is there. We know from President Trump and President Zelensky that neither have said that there was any pressure. President Zelensky said there was nothing from his side that caused him concern.
So those are great comments about the obvious lack of substance, all right? The phone call wasn't secret. The transcript is out there. Anybody can read it. And the Ukrainian president himself said there was no pressure. So how is this an investigation when the two main parties involved, the conversation is available for people to read, and they both said there was no pressure? So the whole investigation is other people saying, well, I wasn't even there, but maybe I kind of think there was pressure involved. How is that? How is there any legal standing in that? So that was just the talk of the transcript. What about these witnesses that are being called? Collins had some opinions about those too.
We also know that Bill Taylor, one of their star witnesses, was not on first-hand information, not even second-hand, not even third-hand. He was on fourth-hand information. So if we go forward in this, we're going to definitely hit the process problems, but we're also going to hit the substance, because at this point in time, everything has been laid out, has shown nothing that the president did wrong, just as exactly as what we did for 10 months in the Judiciary Committee while we were saying that he was basically a Russian agent.
All right, so next I want to talk about the whistleblower, because after all of this and after all these efforts to keep him secret and avoid due process, avoid the president and his attorneys, the White House attorneys, being able to question this person and defend themselves, basically, this whistleblower, we probably have a good idea of who he is. And this is the guy, again, with no firsthand knowledge. This whole complaint was basically him hearing from a friend who heard it from a friend. So yeah, he had no firsthand knowledge of this stuff, and yet it started this whole impeachment inquiry, okay? Now it appears that he's Pajama Boy. Remember this guy? He's part of Barack Obama's ad campaign for Obamacare. Wear pajamas, drink hot chocolate, talk about healthcare. So how incredibly lame, all right? Well, so this guy that they've kind of tracked down, Rush Limbaugh was talking about him yesterday, and he bears a striking resemblance to Pajama Boy. Just, you know, glasses and hipster and Democrat and just the whole left-winger hipster vibe going. And here's what Rush had to say from a report on the Washington Examiner. It says, conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh mocked the CIA officer accused of being the whistleblower that kicked off the impeachment process against President Trump for looking similar to the pajama-clad young man featured in an Obama-era advertisement for healthcare. Eric Charmilla, 33, who is bearded and bespeckled, was reported by Real Clear Investigations to be the official who alleged in a complaint that Trump had initiated quid pro quo in the July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. This guy's a leaker. He's not a whistleblower, Limbaugh said in the Thursday installment of his nationally broadcast radio show. His name is Eric Charmilla. He's 30-some years old. I've got a picture. Looks like the pajama boy from the Obama ad that they ran back during, I think, the first term. All right. So what's interesting about Charmilla is he's already had trouble with the White House. It's known that this guy has worked for Joe Biden, has worked for Democrats, all right? But he already had to leave a position because of alleged leaking. And here's a report from the Real Clear Investigations. Charmilla left his National Security Council posting in the White House West Wing in mid-2017 amid concerns about negative leaks to the media. He has since returned to CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. He was accused of working against Trump and leaking against Trump, said a former NSC official speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss intelligence matters. Also, Charmilla huddled for guidance with the staff of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, including former colleagues also held over from the Obama era, whom Schiff's office had recently recruited from the NSC. Schiff is the lead prosecutor in the impeachment inquiry. All right, so you see what's going on here. Schiff's talking to him, shouldn't be talking to him. This guy already left the White House for leaking to the media anti-Trump stuff. And this is the whistleblower. This is the person most likely that's behind all of this that is leading to this impeachment inquiry. So it shows you how messed up things are in Washington. It shows you that this whole impeachment inquiry is a sham, and they just keep going step by step down their Get Trump playbook, and it does not play well with the American public, and they're going to pay for it in the 2020 elections. So next I want to talk to you about education, because there are some crazy stuff going on in America's public schools, and the Daily Caller did a great report on just going state by state on some of the things that are going on. It's the emphasis is so far removed from reading, writing, and arithmetic now. They're pushing a social justice agenda, a left-wing agenda to indoctrinate our kids, and they don't care about the actual educational results. So here's a report from the Daily Caller. In Howard County, Maryland, the school board appears poised to proceed with a plan drafted by an out-of-state consultant to bus 7,300 students out of their neighborhood schools to adjust the distribution of impoverished students in each school, despite that no discernible constituency is asking for it. The county council said its goal is to address the achievement gaps by racial and socioeconomic factors. The plan would move students based on how many receive free and reduced meals in those neighborhoods. Okay, again, so mixing up, busing people, you know, taking kids away from their neighborhoods. This actually happened to my daughter before we moved to our current neighborhood. Busing her way across town, leaving the friends in her neighborhood, all to try and balance something that, again, has nothing to do with core education, learning the basics. All right, so that's Maryland. Here's more. In the nation's largest school system, a panel appointed by the mayor proposed in August to eliminate the city's gifted and talented programs and programs in the service of racial integration garnered front page news, New York Times coverage. The proposal would end the practice of gifted and talented schools screening students by exams and grades, and even block considering students' attendance records at their previous schools. So basically, that was New York. So they want to get rid of gifted and talented programs because somehow it's racist, all right? Rather than challenging kids of every race to achieve and give them a goal for achievement, get into these classes, that helps them better in getting to good colleges and universities. They want to just scrap the program. They want to do away with that for this whole sake of equality when all it does is hurt the students, all right? So that's what's going on. That's just a couple of examples of what's going on in education. And so finally, I want to close off with the budget, okay, and spending. Because I want to ask the question, how big is big enough for the federal government? Because it continues to grow year after year after year. And I thought shrinking government and cutting spending were basic conservative principles, and yet it keeps going. Here's a report from CNSNews.com. It says, the leaders of both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party in the U.S. Senate proved again this week that they favor a bigger federal government that spends and borrows more money. Their time was symbolically perfect. On Friday afternoon last week, the government released the monthly Treasury statement for September, the last fiscal month of 2019. So what was the report? What were the findings in there? Well, it's new records. New records in revenue. The country brought in more and personal income taxes, individual income tax returns, than ever before. And yet spending is still going through the roof and deficits are going through the roof. Here's more. It says, it revealed that during the fiscal year, the federal government collected an all-time record, approximately $1.7 trillion in individual income taxes. At the same time, the federal government spent an all-time record of $4.4 trillion. So that's $1.7 trillion in revenue from individual income taxes, all right? $1.7 trillion. We spent $4.4 trillion of that. So individual income taxes aren't the only revenue source for the federal government. When you put all the federal government revenue sources together, we ran a deficit last year of nearly $1 trillion, like $948 billion is our deficit. And no one really tries to correct it, all right? There was a vote in the Senate, and Senator Rand Paul proposed an amendment to just say this. It just says, okay, whatever appropriations, whatever we appropriated last year in our various bills for various departments, let's just cut each one by 2%. All right, we'll just appropriate 2% less in each appropriations bill, each department, and that way we'll cut spending. All right, 2% across the board. How did that go? Check this out. It says the amendment lost 24-67 with 9 senators not voting. All 24 who did vote in favor of the 2% cut were Republicans, but they were outnumbered by the 25 Republicans, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who joined 42 Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, to defeat the 2% cut. So no one wants to cut spending. It's just, and the government continues to grow, and that is something that we need to stop because it's going to catch up with us, and it is a core conservative principle that we need to stand behind. Folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.